Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien. What up?
Hey, O'Brien, what's up?
O'Brien. O'Brien flakes.
They don't make those here, do they?
No, they're Irish.
Lucky Charms and
Cheerios. It's called Lucky Charms, right. Last night, I went out and I saw Mars.
Attacks?
No, I went and saw the planet. It was in the south, like southeast sky. Apparently, it was the closest it's going to be in the next 15 years to Earth. So,
ooh.
Yeah. So it was cool because I don't have a telescope. I'm a very, very amateur astronomer. I can see certain constellations and I can kind of
like
find things.
Like where Vulcan is and all that stuff.
Yeah. But, I would like to get into more, doing more astronomy and stargazing.
I want to do like a sky photographs.
Oh, those are beautiful. Yeah.
I want to do star photos.
The equipment's expensive though. That's the problem. That's the thing is I'd like to get a nice, moderately priced beginning telescope where I'm not going to break the bank, but you know, I can also like, if I want to see like, you know, Saturn or Jupiter, maybe I could get a nice shot of it or something like that.
That'd be nice. I might be inheriting Kaylee's camera set when she buys a new one.
Okay, cool.
So hopefully.
And can she get a faraway shot, like something like that?
She's taking some nice moon photographs.
Yeah, you can do some.
I'm not getting that lens though. I'll have to buy my own.
Well, forget it.
But yeah,
I don't want it anymore.
I'm sure.
No, but I mean
the camera's a huge step, so that'd be nice.
The only thing is, it's hard because I got up at like 1 a.m, so I just got up and I walked out in the yard and I, you know, searched it out in the sky.
Oh, it might have been clear because I actually sat out last night and had some cigars and it was cloudy. I was scared I was gonna get rained on.
Yeah. So, but it was. I mean, there was clouds going over, but they were like the wind was enough to blow them around, so they didn't stay in the sky. But it was cool. So, anyways, I got to see that. I wanted to see. It's really interesting.
Did you see the blood moon?
I saw a very large moon, but I don't think I saw the blood moon. So
yeah, I couldn't see the moon last night when I was out.
I did see the moon last night, so I could see it clear. But I could see there's in the night sky we get Jupiter, Mars, and Venus, and I think Mercury, but I haven't seen Mercury because it's too low on the horizon. And I can't see it with the trees and the houses and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So I can't see. But it's supposed to be in a certain direction in the sky. So
is this Tomb Raider? Are all the planets aligning?
No, but it's cool because we are getting to a point where a lot of the planets are in our field of vision
view,
up in the northern hemisphere. So it's kind of cool. Anyways.
It's pretty nice.
Just pretty cool. But we're not here talking about my 1 o'clock, 1 a.m.
runabouts.
Things I may do.
Running naked through the yards looking at the stars.
Woo! Mars, woo! Neighbors calling the police.
Why is there a man streaking yelling about Mars?
We are talking about one of the beloved characters in Deep Space Nine, our first ever installment of Spotting Dax.
Yes, we're spotting Dax because...
She
has spots. And it's kind of hard to spot Dax because she doesn't have a ton of episodes devoted to her.
She doesn't, but she has an interesting character. And I don't remember if we said it on the podcast or at a certain point. We were just like, you know, Dax is interesting, but I always feel like there's a lot I don't know about Dax. You know, there's like all these like stuff that she did with Curzon.
Mm-hmm.
Which you get like all these like legends.
We get like the Odo Curzon merger episode, which was fun.
Yeah,
on.
Right. But like we don't get like, you know, obviously Jadzia is like, she seems like she's got like all her shit together, but we don't get a lot from her.
No, we don't. And, like, I don't know if it's Terry Farrell, like, not being able to, like, embrace the agelessness of the Trill.
Yeah.
And that maturity that would come with it. Because, like, the first couple episodes we'll be talking about, just briefly touching on Emissary and then talking about the first episode with Dax called Dax.
Dax!
It's very simple.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we thought we'd want to delve in. We've done Suffering of O'Brien. And we've done other characters where we kind of, like, our episodes we devote to a character. But we think we should maybe drill down on the Dax character.
Yeah, we thought that'd be fun, because we still have more Suffering of O'Brien to do. So,
oh, yeah. Well, Brian will be there forever, so. Should we get started?
Yes, let's do it.
So, Emissary is Season 1, Episode 1, if you didn't know, and that aired January 3rd, 1993. Now, we're not going to go through the whole rundown, because there's way too much to get into.
It's 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hour long. But we're going to just jump to when Dax shows up. The Enterprise has just left, and we have Sisko greeting his new chief medical officer, Dr. Julian Brasseur, and Jadzia Dax comes aboard, his science officer.
I love how he pawns off the doctor on Kira, and then mm-hmm. he takes Dax for himself. It's like, yes.
Yes.
And Bashir's like, can we go get dinner tonight, please?
Yeah, I know.
Just how long was your spaceship flight over here? Like, didn't you have other dinners?
Bashir is almost ad nauseum too annoying. He's like that little dog, like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I know the pitch for Deep Space Nine was like it's supposed to be this frontier show, like in like the Wild Wild West.
Right.
But I feel like they hit that nail on the head like too hard.
A little bit right on the nose.
Like, it's been like he's like, oh, I'm excited to do frontier. This is what I wanted to do.
Frontier medicine. And Kira's, Kira's like,
this is frontier, my home.
This is my home, you asshole.
But, like, just things that everyone says. I feel like they were trying a little bit too hard to make you think of, like, the Old West.
Oh, that. And also Kira's kind of like, and I know we're going way off subject because we're not talking about Dax right now, but Kira's having just a hard as nails attitude, and when Sisko shows up, she's like, I suppose Starfleet officers don't like to get their hands dirty, you know.
And then he picks up one girder and throws it down and looks at it.
And then he shows his hands like they're dirty. See, so
I'll spank you now.
Yeah, and you know, just a lot of that stuff, and then get like,
oh, I'll call you Jennifer.
Well, anyways, so that's where we first get to meet Dax. And Sisko is obviously excited because he was friends with Curzon Dax years earlier. So he wants to catch up with Dax, his old friend. So that's the first time we see it. She gets off like a, what was it?
Oberth class.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't say if she was actually stationed on that. It's just maybe just transported.
I think they're just transported on it.
Yeah. Doesn't want to stay on that little crappy ship. Why is that ship still in service?
Why is the Saratoga still in service?
I don't know.
Just speaking of, like, we're talking about ships being in service, the ship at the beginning that Sisko's on.
What is it?
The Saratoga. It's a Reliant-class ship.
Right.
This is the ship that got drained of power by the probe in Star Trek IV. It's the same. I didn't check the registry, but I assume it's the same ship
because
it's a Miranda-class ship. And I'm like, really? You're putting a 100-year-old ship against the Borg?
Right.
This is why you lost Wolf 359.
Damn it. These crappy old ships. This is where Sisko has the orb, and he gives it to Dax to be like, you know, study this and figure out and like cross-reference old reference, you know, any kind of reference to the orbs in Bajoran history.
She looks like over like 10,000 millennia or something like that. It's like ridiculous. Like, wow, that's a lot of millennia that he's searching for.
So, and this is kind of the first time we see her in her like science lab.
And then the orb takes her, and we see the passing of Dax from Curzon to Jadzia.
Yeah, so we see him kind of above, and there's two tables where both like facing opposite of each other. So their legs.
If only it was like that toilet seat love seat that the Shatner and Chekhov were interviewing on. That'd be great.
Yeah, it was almost like that.
Even more intimate.
It was sort of like that, except they're kind of like feet to feet, but not quite. They're kind of crossed over. But anyways,
gotta get that slug in and out quick.
We do get the slug getting pulled out and then inserted into Jadzia. So, and Curzon, it kind of dies at that moment. So, and obviously, that was a big thing to Dax. At the time, obviously, she's
her joining. It's like losing your virginity. You never forget that.
So disappointing.
You never forget your first joining.
So that's where she becomes like, obviously, she realizes the orb is more powerful than just some kind of weird artifact kind of mm-hmm. thing. And then we get the whole thing where they head off looking for the Celestial Temple. And they get kind of sucked into
it. They find all these neutrino bursts and all this random activity. I'm like, how did no one find this? There's all this activity here. There's no one.
Maybe they just weren't looking for it, too. You know, it's just random space. It's a point in space that.
Sure. But like they showed all the breakdowns, all the stuff that happened in that area. It was like 30 pin marks.
It's weird. There seems to be a lot of activity here, but nobody seems to be looking for it. But we do find that Jadzia, Dax, and Sisko get pulled in through the wormhole, and they find themselves in the Gamma Quadrant.
And then they're like, hey, let's go back. And then they get stuck.
Inside of it. And then Jadzia gets transported orb form, which is weird, back to Deep Space Nine.
So that Sisko can wax philosophically, like what time is and everything like that.
It was actually, because I hadn't seen Emissary in a while, I found it very fascinating to hear Sisko kind of talk about being kind of in working through time as a linear instead of how the, what do they call them?
A fourth dimensional or higher beings, or the prophets.
The prophets live in.
And that's why I think they're like way higher than any other race in Star Trek, because they're so confused about how time works.
Or maybe it's so alien to them because they can't think of it.
That's why I think they're way more beyond the Q, because the Q, they still understand how time works. They're not confused about linear creatures, because he's fascinated by Picard and by Janeway, I guess, Q is.
Well,
so Q is an elevated being, but he's not as elevated as the prophets are.
But without getting lost in those weeds, I mean, that's... I know you like to talk about that a lot.
Yeah, I know, but this just kind of reinforces that fact, and now that you've rewatched it, it's like, that's why I think they're like the most evolved.
We could get into that
at another point. Yeah.
We could get that in another point for sure.
The prophets.
The prophets versus the Q. That could be an episode. So Jadzia Dax is one of the first people to... go into the Gamma Quadrant, which
traverse the wormhole.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
And she's one of the first people that wants to stay there. Later on, we'll hear talk about that.
Yes, and she's the first to be turned into orb form. At least as far as we know. So,
does anyone else get turned into an orb?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I thought it was weird. She was like this floating chalice.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she's like, "It's the cup of Christ." Oh, it's Jadzia Dax. So. Anyways, she gets transported, and obviously shenanigans ensue with the Cardassians, and we have the Deep Space Nine gang transporting itself miraculously in front of it.
Well, if we put a bubble around the thing, it'll make us lighter. And I'm like, why does weight matter in space?
I don't know. Anyways, yeah. So
I'm like, you're not like.
Well, I guess if you're going like super fast, it might matter.
I guess,
but yeah. So then, obviously the emissary wraps up with the Rio Grande, I believe, pulling
the Cardassian ship,
Golden Dukat's ship, out of the wormhole, and it kind of like proves that the wormhole was there, and they obviously Deep Space Nine is now in front of this wormhole.
Yeah, I think it orbits the wormhole instead of orbiting Bajor.
And so it's sort of like it's
last line of defense.
Yeah, protector sort of. It's the post that you hit just before you go into.
And the prophets made a deal with them that anyone could pass through the space. Whatever.
How do you work that deal out?
I don't know.
Well,
it also just watching all the stuff with Sisko and them. It was just interesting knowing that he is part prophet, just like thinking about what the things they're saying to him, and knowing why they reached out to him is kind of interesting to watch.
Well, yeah, I don't think that was written or maybe even figured out yet.
Well, probably not, but watching it with the context, it's still interesting.
Right, right. So kind of a light Dax. Obviously, you get the introduction to Dax, but this is why we're just including it, because this is the first time we see Jadzia Dax. We see Curzon as an old man passing away. So, you know.
So we learn a little bit about the new Trill, because the original Trill we saw in the TNG episode were wearing prosthetics, but they still had the slug. But then Terry Farrell was too pretty to put prosthetics on, so they gave her spots.
Yeah, I would say.
I'm glad they didn't put something on her face.
Nah, he just doesn't need it. I'm glad. Well, the next one we get is the episode Dax, which is season 1, episode 8, which first aired February 14th, 1993. This one we'll get into a little more detail with.
This one doesn't need all that much detail. It's not much happens in this episode.
Not
really.
A lot, but it is interesting to break down the Trill. Maybe this is the first. I mean, obviously, like you said, we had the TNG episode with our first introduction to Trills.
Riker became a Trill for a second. He got the decimate in him. He shot a bone crusher.
I'll do it. So, so we get O'Brien and his wife Keiko. They're going to Earth to visit their mother's 100-year-old birthday.
Oh, yeah, because O'Brien isn't in this episode.
Yeah, he's not.
And neither is Jake, thank goodness.
And Jake is gone. And during that time.
Gee, golly, Dad, how come I'm not in this episode?
Yeah. Son, let's go play baseball.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Oh, we got to do that again.
Jadzia Das and Julian Frasier are studying to do repair work because O'Brien's gone. Apparently, it falls on their laps, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me because there's got to be other people doing repairs. But maybe they're late on the duty roster. I don't know.
Well, it's still early. Deep Space Nine probably isn't up fully running yet. That's what they said in the Memory Alpha is why they had the courtroom
and
Quarks. It's because they're like, oh, well, you know, it was falling apart a couple episodes ago because the Cardassians wrecked it. So, I mean, maybe it's not fully staffed and fully repaired and stuff yet.
There's a gaping hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Great time to go on vacation, O'Brien.
Yeah.
So they're sitting at, like, Quarks, and they're just doing their little banter between Bashir. Obviously, Bashir is just pretty aggressive with her, and like, she politely refuses for him to take his recorders. And
he's like, it wasn't forbidden.
Well,
so he chases after her.
I'm just being polite. Just because I said no doesn't mean it's not forbidden. Maybe I just don't want it. Where she gets
no means maybe.
I guess in Julian Brasier's world, yeah. So as she's walking back to her quarters, these hooded figures approach her, and they basically jump her. And Bashir
heroically
catches up and
heroically gets beaten.
Yes, exactly. He lasts all of 2 seconds.
Brave Sir Robin ran away.
You know.
Bravely
he does
away.
Fill out later on during the further episodes, but he is extremely small person.
Yes.
You don't really think about it as much. At least I hadn't until I saw him get slammed against the wall by that woman. I'm like, whoa, you are one small guy.
Oh, and as a character, he gets much, much better. Like in season 1 and 2, he's pretty insufferable.
Yeah.
But he gets so much better.
Kira is insufferable.
For most of the seasons.
Bashir's. Insufferable. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard at the first couple seasons. But anyways, so that's when when Bashir comes to, he's like, oh, they took Bashir.
They took Dax. I was trying to stalk her.
I mean, they took Dax. Yeah, they took Bashir. So
how long ago was it? I don't know. A woman knocked me unconscious.
A very large man. Knocked me unconscious. So anyways, these kidnappers take off. And but it's Kira and Sisko get their ship into a tractor beam and suck them back before they can run off.
Run away!
When the kidnappers emerge, they identify.
We have a warrant.
Yeah, they have identified themselves that they have a warrant for Dax's arrest, and they're from Calistron 5 or 6.
Calistron 6,
I believe that's
right. I wanted to say Davidia 2, but that's...
That was last episode.
That was last episode.
Why would you name yourself 6, too? It's like, wouldn't you just call yourself Calistron? Like, we're 6.
We're Earth 4.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's weird. So anyways...
Or Soul 4, I guess.
Apparently, they have a extradition treaty with the Federation that if anybody does anything wrong, the Federation will turn them over.
I'm sorry, we're 3. We're the 3rd planet in the solar system.
Well, you know, you just add an extra planet in there.
Yeah, you know, it's like there's another planet. So I'm sure there is. It's one before Mercury. It orbits inside the sun's chronosphere.
It's called Poopiter.
Yes.
Anyways, so I saw it in the night sky. Like brown.
Yummy.
Anyways, Odo does confirm that the warrant is real and that the crime was committed 30 years ago. So this is during the time when Curzon Dax was in full swing. And Sisko is...
Full swing, no pun intended.
Sisko doesn't believe any of this because the crime that she's accused of is treason and murder. So there is a general that was I kind of lauded as a hero on this planet, like, well, 30 years ago, that was a Tandro, General Tandro, that was supposed to be like this big rebellion, and Curzon was helping during this rebellion.
And they were best friends,
and
too.
They were the best of friends. But then apparently some transmissions came to light that maybe Curzon Dax was the person who was
called in the ambush.
Ambush to get rid of the general. Anyways, so this is General Tandro's son that is serving the warrant. And Sisko's a little confused. Like, why didn't you just hand me the warrant when, you know, instead of just trying to kidnap?
That's pretty fishy.
It was weird. Like, I think they just did it just to do an exciting...
An action scene?
Yeah. Because there's no other real action scene.
They don't really explain it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I feel like, you know, that... I mean, he uses it as a point in the trial. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, you could have just come to me. But, like, I feel like it just gets kind of dropped. Yeah. And I feel like that would make the trial, like, invalid. Just being like, hey, look, you tried to kidnap her. I'm just going to throw out your claim completely because that's inappropriate.
Well, also, Kira brings up that the Caldestron is allied with the Cardassians.
Ooh, that makes it a Bajoran matter.
So, and that's the thing, is that because it's a Federation has extradition laws with Caldestron, that they should be able to just hand over Dax and say, there you go, have fun with her. But because technically they're under Bajoran rule, that means that, hey, you know, you have to go through Bajoran
politics
law. So.
Yes. And so we get this adorable 90-year-old lady with a big rock.
The Arbiter, which basically has the same... gavel as the guy from Undiscovered Country.
So true. Well, that one's made out of metal. Hers is made out of stone.
You don't know. And I mean, is she like eating a lot of Activia or something like that? Because they take more breaks, and we take a 2-hour break, a 1-hour break. She's constantly just running off. She's like, I need to use the bathroom.
I've got the runs
really bad.
You should have some Viber.
I'm.
Stiffen up that stool.
I think she's like chaining Jamie Lee Curtis's Activia commercials a little too seriously. You can eat some solids.
Yes.
Anyways, so
gotta clean out the fruit chute.
Yeah, she's cleaning them out, all right. Well, anyways, we get the it's not a trial; it's a hearing where she has to, like, basically okay the warrant.
Okay the extradition orders.
Yeah, they say, yeah, okay, we'll let you take Jadzia Dax back to your planet. During that time, Sisko's like, hey, Odo, why don't you go to Caldestron and, you know...
Do your thing.
Do a little investigating work. He's like, I get to leave the station for a while. Who will mind the shop?
Kira will do it.
Oh, and by the way, just before all that happens,
put Jake
Odo,
in charge.
Odo does strong arm Quark into letting them use his bar for the hearing, and threatens basically to put all these sorts of, you know, like work, but kind of like all these reasons of like you can
turn off their establishment.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, it's not fair. He's like, it's blackmail. It's just business.
I mean, literally, the best thing about season 1 and 2 of Deep Space Nine is the Odo Quark dynamic.
Yeah,
that's like the saving grace of the show's first 2 seasons because they're rough.
Yeah,
and their dynamic is always great. It's almost always gold.
And during this time, too, by the way, Sisko keeps on pleading with Jadzia to tell what is this about?
Tell me what's going on. And she's like stone-faced the entire episode.
She will not say anything. She will not. She's basically like, just let him take me.
That's like one of the worst parts about this episode. For an episode that's featured on Dax, she says almost nothing the entire
episode.
She's
like, yeah, she's almost like has no like. There's nothing her giving her defense or anything like that.
And the thing is, this episode plays like an exposition dump on the Trill with almost no input from the main Trill on the show. They get like they bring in like an expert Trill witness to
which is a Trill ambassador or something like that. And so during the time of the trial, they have obviously different people to be like witnesses and stuff like that. Like you said, there's a Trill ambassador that comes and talks. There's a couple different ones, too, that they... I mean, obviously,
Sisko gets on the stand. Dax gets on the stand.
Right. So we get all that
and
going.
Odo goes and finds the widow.
The widow of General Tandro. And we find out that she didn't even know that her son is serving this warrant to Jadzia Dax.
And she doesn't know that Dax is now a woman.
Yes, and that...
She's like, how was Curzon?
It's like, he's dead.
He's dead, Jim.
Yeah. So she's kind of... You can tell she feels... All of a sudden, she... When
she feels leaves, she feels worse about it.
Yeah, she's like, uh-oh. You know, like, this isn't really what I thought. Because I think she kind of knew what something was going to happen. And maybe that Curzon was going to come back. And maybe Curzon would come back into her life.
Mm-hmm.
But Curzon ain't coming back.
Maybe she could convince Jadzia to swing.
I kind of got that inferred for a moment, but then...
A little bit, at the end, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
At the very end. So, anyway, so we find out that Odo is saying, yes, Curzon was on the planet at the time when General Tondro was ambushed by these rebels. And he, and because Curzon Dax was there, there were some transmissions that were sent, and kind of thinking that would have been Curzon that was doing that, but it wasn't.
Because there's only a couple other people who had the thing, and everyone else had an alibi.
Right.
Curzon did not have an alibi.
Yeah, what was Curzon doing?
He was banging.
He was.
The wife of the general, his best friend.
He was with the general.
He was, they were so good friends that he was taking care of his wife for him.
Yeah, it's like, well, you're away.
You know, I'm just making sure her bed's warm.
Right, exactly. I'm a bed warmer.
Anyways, bang, bang.
So we get that Curzon Dax is not just had a long friendship, but they were having an affair with General Tondro. And Odo, with this scene off screen, but obviously Odo convinces General Tondro's widow to come to Deep Space Nine. And they come there remarkably fast. Because I think they had like an hour.
And he was like still on the planet, yeah.
While she's doing her Activia toilet break or whatever she's doing during that time.
Oh, the time had to have been working different or something. Like, so the stuff had to happen earlier or something, and they're only seeing it at certain times. Because, yeah, it was very convenient that they got there to the station right before the final verdict was given. And she gave her testimony.
Yes.
Curzon was in my bed. He was giving it to me jackhammer style.
And the son's not happy about this, of course.
Mom?
Mom! You're embarrassing me.
Why didn't you spread it for Curzon? What was wrong with Dad's thing?
And apparently, from what we heard, that the general is not all cracked up for these use what everyone's putting out to be. So the legend is a little like grown.
She's like, I knew him. I lived with him before he was this legend.
He's just sounding like he was an asshole.
Yeah,
you know. But so does Curzon in a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they got along so well. Just to back up just slightly too. We did a great. There was a great like part where they're talking about, is there a difference between Curzon and Jadzia? And obviously they're different, two different people, but we get to know that the symbiont Dax is obviously carries all the memories, and the symbiont has its own personality as well that kind of meshes with it. But
whatever, with the new host.
But are they still accountable for past actions?
And that answer is never. It's never answered.
It's never quite answered. But I feel like there was a past murder episode, too, which we'll get into at some point.
At least in this episode, it's not answered.
Not in this episode.
Yeah.
But I just found it very interesting that they went into it and they got into, like, kind of, I don't want to say the metaphysics of it, but definitely the ethical sides of like, are they...
It's the perfect crime. You can just evade the law until you switch hosts. And I'm just like, that's a lot of work.
Are you a new person?
That is a lot of work for a new crime.
Hey, you know, criminals do a lot of things to cover their tracks.
I don't know. I would argue that they're different people. I would say that Curzon is a different person. Jadzia was a different person. And then Jadzia Dax is a different person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she's neither purely Jadzia or purely Dax. So that's enough to be a different person.
But the symbiont knew what was happening.
Yeah, but...
Well, so did Jadzia, but...
But Jadzia wouldn't have known that the symbiont committed a crime. I mean, that's... You can't hold...
I don't know, but she did know. She understood.
Once it was inside her, she knew.
Yeah, but beforehand.
Yeah, what kind of society would that be? Like, where you're like, oh, you're condemned for what you're... What the slug inside of you might have done.
Or how about condemned for what your father or grandfather might have done.
Yeah, it's really, really crappy.
That's a shitty law. Anyways, we get a nice little scene at the very end, like we said, that Tondro's widow and Jadzia
have a nice touching moment.
And you can tell that, you know, she's confused. Not confused, but maybe she's kind of like, well, it's still you, Dax, but, you know, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, things have changed. And obviously Dax made a like a solemn oath of silence.
Yes.
And that's why he would never say anything, even to Sisko when all this was happening. So this is why the episode Dax has very few lines. For Dax.
It's just disappointing. I don't know if, like I said at the beginning, I don't know if it's Terry Farrell, if she just didn't have, like, the acting chops to kind of portray that kind of, like, long-standing wisdom or in the character, or maybe that's just how it was directed, or what. It just...
What do you think?
This is not my favorite episode with Dax. This is probably one of the least favorite, but it wasn't as bad as I remembered it being. It was a little bit better.
It's not a bad episode, and I think it might play for a good exposition of what a Trill is.
Yeah, it's very much an exposition dump.
Because if you did not catch the
Next Gen episode
where we see Trills for the first time, you would just be like, so she's just, you know, got like freckles on her neck, you know, kind of thing. So might be confusing. I don't know. It's not a bad episode. It's just there's a lot of...
I mean, for season one, it's not a bad episode. Yeah.
No, yeah, it's watchable. It does seem like every once in a while, like every maybe season or two, and Star Trek will have a trial episode.
Star Trek loves their trial episodes.
Weird, isn't it?
Although Measure Man's probably still the best. Oh, Drumhead's really good, too.
Drumhead's good, too. There's some good ones in there, but, I mean, you're always just like, you know, oh, we're going to go through a trial
here. I wonder if there'll be a trial in season two of Discovery, since they blew all the budget on the first five episodes.
Yeah, we got to do something. Trial episode.
Let's have a trial on the Discovery, or on the Enterprise, whichever. A
couple things. The Arbiter, Mrs. Activia, she's... Anne Haley, and she was born 1934 and unfortunately died in 2001. But she, you probably would recognize her from The Social Worker and Mrs. Doubtfire, where she has to put, where Robin Williams has to put like the cream pie in her face. And she's like, hello, and all that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So she plays that. She also plays the secretary in Liar Liar. And interesting enough, she played played in Golden Girls opposite of Robert Picardo.
Nice.
So they were together in that.
That's awesome.
And then also General Tondro's widow.
She was Data's mom.
She was Data's mom in Inheritance, and she also was like I said. We know she's in Dax. She also is in Enterprise's episode Fallen Hero, where she plays the Vulcan ambassador Velar.
Nice.
And she's still alive. She's still in a lot of acting gigs. And she's Irish, actually. Filona Flanagan, so.
Oh, that's awesome. She's still and around and still doing stuff.
Oh, I saw some early pictures of her. She was gorgeous.
Oh, you
can tell.
In Deep Space Nine, she's older, but you can tell she was good looking back in the day.
She's gorgeous. Beautiful redhead. Anyways, so interesting.
I think we'd start at the feet and work our way up.
Well, yeah, so I want to just do a couple things. I did a quick thing on Dax, so I just wanted to talk about her. So Jadzia was born in 2341, obviously on Trill, and she has her father, mother, and sister, and she always wanted to be joined with a symbiont, with a slug.
Daddy, can I get a slug stuck up inside me?
Wait to college.
That's what we call the dorm room experience.
So prior to her joining, Jadzia went to Starfleet Academy and applied to the Trill Symbiosis Commission after graduating. But while during that time, she earned degrees in astrophysics, exoarchaeology, exobiology, and zoology. So pretty...
Lots of specialities that almost never get used on the show.
Well, I don't know. Kind of. Like when they go to the Gamma Quadrant?
Sort of, but not a whole lot, I don't think. There's not a lot of episodes that really encompass those things, I don't believe.
Well, we don't see her flex those muscles as much as she should.
No. Like, she, I guess for one of the main characters, I feel like she's super underutilized.
Yeah.
And then we start seeing her a bunch more when Worf comes around, because they have their thing together.
So she obviously wanted to be part of the Trill Symbiosis, but she was rejected initially from the program by Curzon Dax. And so he didn't want to have her part of it. But then she reapplied. And
she persevered.
And she was put back in. So, and then after Curzon was going to die, obviously she got approved from joining, and she got Curzon Dax's symbiote, Trill, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting, just to know just kind of where she was as a person, you know, before she became joined.
And then the widow tells her, I hope you have a long life. Sorry, lady. She's only going to live another 6 years.
Yeah. Kind of sad.
Well, when I was reading the Memory Alpha for these two episodes, mm-hmm. it sounds like they all signed for 6-year contracts mm-hmm. for some reason instead of 7-year contracts. I don't understand why it was 6 years, but she's the only one, I assume, that didn't renew for that one last year. She's like, yeah, I'm fine. I was just like, why? I kind of feel bad that they did that. I mean, Ezri Dax is fun. She's cute. But, I mean, I don't think she's as good as Jadzia.
Yeah.
Especially since we didn't get to see Jadzia flex her muscles that well.
No. Well, I mean, later on, like, we get more roles where she does a little bit more. But, like you said, this episode, especially with such a strong exposition on the character, maybe just the background of the character is interesting a little bit, but you're not getting much of her. So she's just kind of like...
just there.
Stand quietly in the corner.
Yeah, it was just such a disappointing first episode for Dax. Yeah. As far as like getting to know the character, because the character just like, I've crossed her arms, like, no, I'm not saying nothing. I'm doing the silent treatment.
I'm not saying nothing.
Episodes that have been called silent treatment.
So, I don't know.
What are your takeaways on these episodes?
Emissary is a lot of fun to watch. Like I said, it's been a while since I watched that all the way through. And like I said, Dax is such a minor part of that whole thing. I mean, it was obviously like, this is a science officer, you know? Bashir becomes more noticeable right off the bat than Dax. I mean, obviously...
Well, Bashir comes off as super freaking annoying right off the bat, so it's like he makes more of an impact.
Yes. But, you know, it's obviously an attractive woman, so you're like, you know,
yeah,
got a little bit of my interest. But you don't really, you don't, there's nothing to go like, well, I got to pay attention more of what she's got to do, you know, because it's like, there's really nothing there in the beginning.
I want to pay more attention. They just didn't give us the opportunity to, I don't think. And I think that's what Spotting Dax is going to be about, because you know, we're going to, you know, it's not going to be every single episode in the series. We'll skip episodes and do Spotting Dax here and there.
Right. But I do think that Dax, and the thing is, it was like they're trying to give Sisko an old friend in new skin,
mm-hmm.
which is an interesting concept, too. Because even with Tandro's widow, you know, she's obviously trapped into this, you know, decaying body as we all are, get old.
Yes.
But, you know, Dax will always find a new lease of life until that Trill slug.
Until the symbiote is gone, yes.
Starts to die. So, I don't know. It's really made me think a little bit about... And we didn't really talk as much about our last episode for Time Zero, but even Data talks about that. It's like, he says, I always assumed that, you know, my friends I make now are all going to die, get old and die.
And I'd live forever.
I'll live past them and I'll make new friends and they'll, you know, die. And I'll make new friends after that.
Being a Trill is the best of both worlds because you still grow old and die with your friends, but then part of you still lives on.
Would you want to change your body, even if it meant to change gender?
But it's not. I don't know. It's not even your body. Your body is the slug.
Well, I know.
It's like your crank.
I'm just
you get a new body to drive.
Yeah,
I think that would be interesting. Like, I mean,
or maybe even half of yourself, if you could join it with another, you know, like maybe parts of you.
I think it'd be fascinating being a Trill, but the thing is, like,
you leave part of you behind.
You die. And the thing is, like, because the Trills have these like queer, these crazy rituals.
Yeah, that weird ritual.
Where like they,
it gets a little woo woo for me there.
Yeah, like, but they like they can implant the memories in
Odo,
the body.
And Odo takes
Quark
it.
Quark becomes a woman.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Quark becomes one of the women, and then they can interact with your past selves mm-hmm. through other carriers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's interesting. Like, so do they really die? Is there, it's like,
well, I'm assuming they die at some point.
The physical body dies at some point, but like, how much is it just the memories? Is it just a perfect copy of the memories? Or is there part of the soul transmitted inside the slug?
What if, in the future, that you could download, I think we talked about this maybe in Schizoid Man, like what if you could download your memories and you just put yourself in an artificial body for a long time until that breaks down and you have all the memories, but that old body is gone.
But would it still be you, though?
I don't know. I don't technically think it would be. I think it would be echoes of you, and I mean, it might act like you, but it's still not the same very same person.
Yeah, I don't think it would.
Would
be
you like, want to go through with that?
I don't know, because I mean the thing is like you know being you know I'm a Christian, so like mm-hmm. the you know we believe in the soul and like the soul goes away. So even if my memories were transported, I still wouldn't be in it. Like I would still be gone on because you can't transplant the soul into another thing.
No, you're going memory Ingrams or whatever you want to call them. So they're just like the facts of like, what happened.
So like you could leave behind the facts of David or the facts of Aaron and in a machine that'll
take the good, take the bad.
In a machine that'll still, you know, act the way they do, but like yeah. you're still dead. Like I don't think you'll know. Like you'll still die. Like when I die, like I transfer my memory into a thing. It's an automaton that it's like David. But David's dead. David's gone forever because he's dead and his soul went somewhere else. And so the robot's still there, but like transferring your memory doesn't mean you're gonna like. I don't think I would like. I don't think doing that would make me experience life beyond my death. You know what I mean? Because that's the whole point. You want to transfer your consciousness so that.
Okay, but what if we do the same thing with the Trill idea? Like, what if they could take you and maybe not put all of you, but put like you into another body?
Because I think that's interesting. Because I think like because the symbiont like is part of you. It right. maybe takes part of your soul with it or something like that.
Or well, maybe I mean going with your beliefs, maybe Curzon when he died, his soul went to wherever he's going.
But a part of it was still in the thing because they still have their.
But the memory engrams are in the slug creature, while the physical humanoid body dies away. And the Curzon part kind of dies, but then it gets all kind of compiled and brought into Jadzia. But what if they could do that with you? Would you want to go through that process that maybe half of you would be eliminated, but parts of you would still be there?
I think it'd be fascinating. I'd sign up for the joining program.
Yeah, you would.
As long as they don't execute me for for something someone did in the past slug.
And I also want to know who came up with that idea. It's like, hey, put a slug inside you. You know, it's like what, like where did that come together?
Because I feel like it would be super unfair to be put on trial and killed for something the thing inside of you did inside another person.
Yeah,
and it's a melding of consciousnesses. It's not 100% of the symbiont, another 100% of the person. It's a symbiosis. And the
it's like that
joint. It's like a joint. It's a joint decision.
It's like that cell phone bomb that guy had in. Was it the Dark Knight Rises or not Rises? The Fall of the Dark Knight, where he's in the prison, and he's going like, "Oh, my gut hurts."
Oh,
he had the bomb inside.
Boom.
Of him. Is he to blame for that bomb inside of him? The Joker put it in there.
I wouldn't. He's dead, so it's not like you can blame him for it.
He's in lots of parts.
Still dead, but yeah, I would like to be. I think I would be fun to be a Trill. What about you?
What if you were to change? Like, just sexes. Like, what if you're also in a woman?
But the thing is, it's not really, it's just all of your memories. So it's not even really.
Well, part of you. I suppose the slug doesn't give a damn really about sex, per se.
No.
I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. But I don't know if I would. I
think it'd be interesting to, I just think it would be so advantageous to have, like, all this life experiences, like, knowledge inside your head. That's that way, like, just figuring out life would be so much better.
I think it would give a better insight on life.
Yeah, and that way you can, you know, if you had a slug with a female's perspective, you could, like, you know, talk to women better because you'd have that perspective.
That's
or
all
whatever.
You're worried about.
Yes, exactly. No,
but my thought is more of like what each host
you can identify with your girlfriend better,
maybe. But what most hosts would have. For like their viewpoints of life, like everyone has, I'm sure Curzon's feelings on life are very different than Jadzia's feelings on life, and so like you would get these different philosophies. Like, well, he thinks this way, but this person thinks that way. So you'd have all these different philosophies in life, and you know, obviously, you can disagree or agree with them, or take parts of that you agree with, but that's got to be confusing too. Because well,
we don't see that a lot with Jadzia, but we see it a lot with Ezri, where she keeps on ordering Gach or Rakhtajin or something.
Right,
she's like, oh, I hate this, but she kept ordering it because either Curzon or Jadzia liked the Gach or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, oh, I hate eating this stuff, but I keep ordering it because I'm used to, like.
kind of
like,
weird.
I feel like she's not a very good Trill. Like, she can't differentiate what's going on. Jadzia knows what's going on.
Right. But I that's the thing is, like, I think it would give you more insight on life to have, like, different hosts and you can recall back to, but I don't think it would give you any clear idea how to best live your life.
No, I don't think it would make you live your, like, I don't think it would set you on the straight and narrow, but I think having experiences, like, full life experiences to reflect on.
Yeah.
And be like, you know, it could be like a cheat code guide, you know, like, you know, instead of...
Well,
like,
it probably would be a nice guide to, you can go like, but maybe I could do this, or, you know, kind of things like, oh, they made a mistake here, so make sure I don't do that.
Where can I do it better? You know, I think that would be fascinating.
That would be interesting.
To have that
aspect of it. I think I'd have to be like terminal, like ill, have something really sick to make me like think about maybe I might want to do that. But
the thing is, I don't know how much of you is like, I mean, you don't have your, but the thing is, the slug will only have the memories of you that, well, it's been inside of you. So it's not like.
True. But I mean, my point only being is like, I don't know, at a certain point, and maybe I'll feel better, different when I turn like some 70, 80 years old, but maybe you're at that point, you're like, you know what? I had my ride. You know, maybe you become at peace with it. I don't know. Maybe you don't. I'm not there yet.
I think it'd be fascinating. I wish I could have applied for the Symbiosis Project when I was younger.
I know.
That would be great.
Wish I would have just worked a little harder to get into that program. I don't hate the idea. I just don't know if I'd necessarily want it. I think when your time is up, your time is up, and I think you should like move on to the next.
But you do move on to the next thing.
It's
just the slug that retains your memory and maybe like a sliver of your soul.
Maybe I kind of feel like when I go, it's like, you know, at least they don't have to have like Aaron around to make all the mistakes from his past and let somebody else get a try at it. You know, that's how I feel about it.
Oh, you just worried about passing on your
just bad decisions and bad things that you've done, and you're just like, you know, maybe I've made my mistakes, and you know.
Oh, but that's different. Like passing on just mine. Like I'm thinking like, you know, me getting a whole bunch of other people's.
Yeah,
just like Matt, that's advantageous. Like me passing on my stuff. I don't know. Not a super successful person. I'm not sure if anyone want my drill.
Well, you never know. And like to say, like where did that start in Trill? Like we don't really get a good look on that. Like all of a sudden. We've been to the Trill like caves where they like the worms or slugs
where they live. Where they breed, I guess.
But we don't like, you know, one point it's like, you know what'd be a good idea? Put these inside of us. I mean, maybe it was like a weird sex thing.
Or maybe a woman was the first join Trill.
Or maybe it was like the slugs were like super aggressive and would like burrow themselves into people.
Oh, maybe.
And then
like steady eels, and then they discovered.
And maybe they were like, hey, you know, you don't have to do that. Maybe we could work this like to work together. Kind of.
There was like a war, and they fought.
It was like thousands of years, and finally they came to a truce.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, you can ask that for like anything. Like, how do we know, like the things we use in modern day time? Like, so many people had to die to figure out, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't eat. Arsenic, you know.
Yeah, but that's like trial and error. Like, you know, who the hell digs up a turnip and is like, boy, I'm gonna cook that thing up. Like, first of all, turnips are gross, and then secondly, like, they don't look good when you pull them up.
They don't smell good when you cook them.
They don't smell good, and they definitely don't taste good. So you got to be really freaking hungry to eat that damn thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's so many things like that, and just, like, why did we think this was a good idea? And, like,
I just don't think they had television. I just think they were like, hey, let's go foraging through the woods. You know, it's funny. No,
this didn't kill me. Maybe it's fine.
It's funny because years ago, I worked with interesting lady. She was from Russia, I believe, and she said that she, when she was younger, they used to go into the forest and they would look for mushrooms to cook and eat. I'm like, I would never go into the forest and just pick mushrooms, random wild mushrooms to eat, because I'd probably die. I'd eat something and just like be like, ah, poison.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But like, I think people used to do that kind of stuff.
Oh, they had to have. That's how we know which ones are good and which ones are bad.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people died along the way.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you know, they tried the slug with the sex thing, and then that didn't work.
That doesn't work.
But, like, how did they figure out the transfer it from one body to another body? I guess they figured out that the slug was still alive for a little while or something. I don't know. It's
yeah.
They didn't as much exposition was in this episode, we didn't learn about that. And I don't know. And I don't think we ever do.
No, we don't really find out the origins of how the Trills symbiosis come together at some point. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean,
are they both native to the same planet? I would guess so.
I'm assuming they must be, but it does seem odd that you'd put those two together, you know, like chocolate and peanut butter. Makes Reese's.
Reese's feces, yeah.
Reese's feces?
Yeah.
You. I'm not eating that. Yeah, so I don't know. Interesting thought. I like the idea of maybe passing on something of me if I had to. Like I said, if I was terminally ill, like I found out, and I wanted to have something for my children to know that Dad's still around somehow, even if Dad's a mom, you know?
Or an automaton.
Or an automaton. It'd be funny if I had like a Quaker Oats head. Just a big box.
And the rest of you's like Bender.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, it's me. And I just terrify them constantly. My feet are made of like spatulas. My hands are like salad tongs.
And Blocto. No.
I'm just a terrible looking robot.
Oh, man. That would be weird to pass out an automaton.
It'd be weird to podcast me in that form, too, wouldn't it?
Maybe you can connect.
No, he's thinking about it. I was like, no more weirder than now.
Well, I was just thinking, like, you know, as a robot, like, maybe you'd have better Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yeah, maybe that'd be awesome.
You can just connect to anything.
Like, I was just like, wire just shoots up through my head, and I was like,
you're like Bender. You get like the antenna on the top of your head.
Yeah, maybe then, I'm just trying to be Bender.
No, and then the thing is, you could like tune into people's radios and like just like this is the Holics. Like,
I know,
like, we could force ourselves on the radio waves instead of just the podcast waves.
I think we need to do that.
That would be hilarious.
Break FCC rules all the time.
Just get our own powerful transmitter. Anyone who drives by, it's Synthaholics. It's on all the channels.
What the fuck? I don't even like Star Trek.
You like this.
Yeah, but you will listen. So I don't know. Very soft opening for spotting Dax, I would say, for these two episodes.
Yeah, it's
not heavy hitters.
No, not heavy hitters at all. Hopefully, we'll get some better spotting Dax. There are some good Dax episodes,
but
they're far and few between, and there's not that many Dax episodes. So we'll be doing some more.
I guess we'll have to find more
eventually.
Let us know what you think. Do you want to be joined with the Trill symbiote and live your life through somebody else?
Yeah, would you guys want to be joined? Join the conversation. Go to facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics and chime in. Let us know. Do you want to be joined? Do you want to live forever?
Would you want to? It would be all right if you changed genders. Would you be all right with that? All of a sudden, one day you're a man or you're a woman or.
Woohoo! Gotta check out the different parts.
Yeah, but you know, there might be things that you didn't really consider when you did that. So.
I wonder if that's the first thing, like, what happens after you're joined when you were the previous sex.
It's morning
like,
wood.
Let's see how this works.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but the thing is, you would already know because the new person already knows how the body. I don't know.
Does it work like that, or do you just recall memories? Like,
I think
memories.
You just recall memories.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you just have to pull them up all the time. It's like you might think back. Oh yeah, I remember. You know. Maybe it doesn't come that fresh. I don't know how it works. So,
well, when you're not trained, I think things leak over a lot more. Like Ezri. Ezri wasn't a trained Trill. She just kind of had to take the Dax symbiote as an emergency.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, interesting.
Well, spotting Dax number one in the can, guys. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Ready for more spotting Dax? Is Dax one of your favorite characters, or is she one of your least favorite characters?
Yeah. Let us know what you think of good old Jadzia Dax.
Absolutely. Well, you can. Our music is provided by Warp 11, except for our intro. It's done by Dave Wilkes. Warp 11, you can find at warp11.com and Warp 11 on Twitter. The show, Synthaholics, you can find us on Twitter at Synthaholica Duo. Personally, I'm David_J_Duncan. Aaron is at Blackbird2004, and Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
And please go to our Facebook page, like Dave said before, Facebook/Synthaholics.
Facebook.com. Facebook.com/scoops at Synthaholics. You can also email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Yeah, and if you want to send us an email, let us know what you think about becoming a symbiont. Let us know if you want to do that. We'll get the application ready for you, and
we'll read it on the air.
And we'll get you set up to see if you make the cut. Also, if you could, please go to Apple iTunes, rate and view us there. It's a great way to just show your support to the show. Hopefully give us some nice stars and a nice review. Also, you could go to Patreon/Synthaholics, and you could throw some money our way that way. That'd be a great way to support the show. We always looking for a little donation to keep the symbiosis of this podcast going.
Aaron and I are symbionts.
Yes.
It's strange when one of us aren't here.
And lastly, a great way to, if you can't do any of those things at this moment, great way to do it is bend over at your desk and tell your workmate about Synthaholics, or let your friend know at the convenience store that you go there. And
spread the podcast around any way you
let
can.
Let them know.
Door to door.
When you're buying that Monster Energy drink, say, hey, Synthaholics, dude, check it out.
Yeah,
it'd be a great way. It's a great way, just word of mouth, great way to support the show.
Yeah, and support any of those ways, they're all immensely helpful.
Yeah, we love it when people do.
Well, I think that's it for spotting Dax number one. Thank you, Aaron, for joining me.
Number one spot.
Yes,
thanks for having me, and I guess we'll get on to the next episode next week.
All right, well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Can we be friends?
You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
When you don't know.
There's a snake in my boot.
There's a boot in my snake. It swallowed my boot.
Oh, man. Well, take one of Spotting Dax, right?
Yeah, Spotting Dax number one.